they had the most wisdom because they're the oldest. So, okay. Going through Jeremiah today, as we look through this, you get to these prophets, and sometimes you wonder, let me make sure my cell phone's off. And I don't want to make sure that it was down. So, you wonder, why in the world do we care so much about what happens to this nation of Israel? You get through the prophets, and we say, okay, they did wrong. God punished them. You know, what's going on there? Well, you think about it. We went back to the beginning. We started in Genesis, and we understood that God created the heaven and earth. We looked in this first 11 or 12 chapters, understood who God was, understood who we were, and the reason why we are the way we are. But then we saw that God called out a man, Abraham, and as God called out the man, Abraham, it was the beginning of a nation, not just any nation, a special nation. Why was this nation special? Because through this nation, the Redeemer and the Savior of the world was coming. And that's why you have in there the history and those historical books. That's the reason why you have in here these prophecies teaching us about the past, how God treated his people as a way that God treats us as future believers during this time period. Also, you have the future looking ahead about what the end is going to be like. And through this, we see the nation of Israel, and we see Jesus Christ coming through that nation. There is a picture that's seen here, and you see Jesus Christ through all these different things. You get to Jeremiah, you're going to hear the story about how Israel went into captivity. And in this story, you're going to see from a wonderful man, it's another wonderful book of the Bible, they're all wonderful, I get that, something special about all of them. And in this story about Jeremiah, you're going to see a man of God who proclaimed the message year after year after year, and no one cared. And even though judgment was all around them, they saw the nation of Israel, not Judah, the other part of Israel, remember, divided into two different parts. You had Judah and Israel. Even though they saw Israel get taken into captivity and get destroyed, it didn't cause them to turn. Here Jeremiah was a prophet for over 40 years, and over 40 years he didn't have any converts. No one wanted to listen to him. In these 40 years, he faithfully taught and preached over and over God's word, and no one cared. You know what? This teaches us a lot of different things. First of all, it teaches us the patience of God, the love of God. You'll see here that the love of God's written throughout this book. Also teaches us the patience. Also teaches us our responsibility. Even when it doesn't seem like anybody's listening, we're still supposed to give out the word of truth. God ordained this man, God called this man, God divinely appointed this man to do this job despite the fact he was going to be ridiculed, despite the fact he was going to be tortured, despite the fact it was going to end up costing him his life. So today as we look at this story in the book of Jeremiah and say, why is this book in all the Bible? It helps us understand that God wants us to return unto him when we have sin in our life. You see what it says here? The first thing is, return ye backsliding children, and I will hear your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Now here it is. It's God's, these people were away from God, and he is crying for them to return unto God. So when we look at this passage of scripture today, when we look at this book of the Bible, I pray that God helps us understand the reason why this book is here. And we see God in it. We see a faithful man of God. We also see stubborn people and what happens to them too. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and have the Lord help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are in need of your help. Lord, when we consider all the requests, whether emotional, physical, spiritual, all the different things that are going on in people's lives, we know we can't do anything to fix it. But Lord, we know that you can, and that, Lord, you've asked us to pray for these things. Lord, I pray that you help make sure that our hearts are right so we can go out and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, to really understand this book of the Bible, you're going to have to understand some historical facts that are going on. Each of these different prophets were prophesying during different time periods in history, and you got to understand what's going on in this nation during this time period to make it work. He was before the exile. He was a prophet to Judah. Not only was it before, he actually went, he saw the exile happen, he was allowed to stay, and he watched when Babylon came and destroyed his city. He had a tough job. Babylon, Assyria, Babylon, and Egypt were fighting for world supremacy. During this period in time, Egypt and Assyria were the two world powers. Assyria had already conquered Israel, the northern kingdom, and carried them away into captivity. So this has already happened. Israel has already been carried away. In 612 BC, the Babylonians and the Medes conquered Nineveh, the capital of Syria. In 605 BC, the Egyptians were defeated by the Babylonians at that famous battle, leaving the Babylonians as the undisputed world power. In 586 BC, after four different sieges, the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, carrying away captive a great number of God's people. So what you're going to have and what you're going to see is that the Egyptians and the Assyrians were the world powers at that time. And they were there and they were battling. You see here, these two nations affected the nation of Judah. He said, how? And you'll see here. During Jeremiah's days, there was two nations on either side affecting the people who lived in Judah. The Egyptians were to the southwest, the Assyrians were to the northeast. These two nations were fighting to try to become the next world power. Both these nations had an interest in coming in and taking over Judah. Now, they're destroying other nations. This is one that's right near them. But the problem was they were at a connection between the two. And they would play against each other. As you see, it was during the time of Jeremiah that Judah's kings were doing their best to play these two nations one against another to buy some time and to keep the other, either keep the one or the other one from conquering. And they're politicians. You have these men are relying in their own strengths, relying in their own abilities. Now, you say, what's wrong with that? Well, see, this wasn't like 2000. This wasn't where we didn't know anything about God. This was God's people. They shouldn't be relying on themselves. They should be relying on their own strengths and the way they can manipulate people. They should have been relying on God. They did whatever it took to keep them from being attacked and having someone attack them. And this spirit of compromise, the spirit of compromise of doing this for the Egyptians, doing this for the Assyrians, it led to a terrible, terrible spiritual condition. Judah was so full of compromise, they had lost their sight and their vision of God. Their hope was not in God, and Judah's hope was in their own abilities to stir these two powerhouse nations against each other, hoping that neither one would attack them. They were depending on their own abilities, not coming to God for help. Everyone had their own survival plan. And you say, what's wrong with that? This is God's nation. This is God's people. They brought them out. They were never big enough and strong enough to take care of themselves. They had to depend on God. And because of that, you see what happens. Is that in the end, they get carried away. And I don't know about you, but this reminds me of the nation of Israel. What you do, Mr. Jim?
Wow. That was a pretty good mind.
Yeah. Let's see what we got here. It does have a mind of its own, doesn't it? Let's see what we got here. It's even logging off.
It's even possessed, what it is.
The Wi-Fi was updated.
It's shutting down now. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Well, this is a new projector, so, and it might have Wi-Fi capability in the church. It might be communicate. Mr. Bruce did not set it up, so Mr. Bruce is usually our resident genius when it comes to electronics.
It's doing updates, is what it's done.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. It took over in the middle of the thing to do updates.
Huh. We're going to have to fix that, aren't we? Because it probably updates the same time every day. So, it's new, Mr. Bilger, so it's new. So we'll have to wait and see. But it is probably because it's a Wi-Fi and it's updating and it might not even be the projector. It might be something to do with the computer. So, but that's fine. Who knows? It might pop back up in a second. So, Jeremiah was God's spokesman during this time. One preacher put it this way. It was a time of darkness and disaster. And this is a very brief summary of the time of Jeremiah, but that's what it was. It was time during a time of darkness, and it was during a time of disaster. That's not the right button there. There it is. There we go. It was a time of darkness and it was a time of disaster. And God asked Jeremiah, I want you to do a job for me. And this job I want you to do for me is unlike any other job that's been given to you. I want you to, for many years, to go to my people and tell them to repent. And they're not going to listen to you. And, I mean, you say, I don't understand how a man could do that. Well, God had called him to this. And this is about 100 years after the death of Isaiah. Isaiah, 100 years ago, had told him what? Last week you saw that. He said, the Babylonians are going to come and take you over. I mean, he told him that. He says, and they still didn't want to listen.
Right.
Now, over 100 years later, Jeremiah's got a job. And let's look here in Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Look here in verses 1 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah. Now, anybody know who Hilkiah was? Anybody remember who Hilkiah was? He was the priest that found something. He was the one that found the book during the days of Josiah. You see here, this is during the days of Josiah here. Remember how Josiah was that child king and they decided to clean out the temple. And they said, we found the book. Didn't know who the book was, and they booked the book, took the book to Josiah, and they had a revival. Hilkiah here was the son, Jeremiah is the son of Hilkiah here, and so you see the little connection there at a time period. So that was back in 2 Kings. It was. Remember, 2 Kings was a historical part. This is not written in chronological order. Jeremiah was on the scene the same time. You see here when he was a prophet. The priests that were in Anath in the land of Benjamin, this is about a couple miles north of Jerusalem, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. You see here that he came first, that God told him during the reign, he called him to be a prophet, the days of Josiah, the son of Amnon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So he gives us specifically when the call happened in his life. And because of this, we know about how many years he was a prophet. Verse number 3, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, unto the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So his job as prophet was to be there during those reigns, and when Jerusalem was carried away, he was going to watch it all happen. His ministry does not stop there. He stays there as part one of the refugees, and he tells them not to rebel against the Babylonians, but that's a whole other part of the story. Verse number 4, I want you to see the call here. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like an it to me. It's not, you know, they're telling us a child is not a child till it's born. You know, this is saying that he was formed, God knew him, he was a person, he was called, and he had a specific purpose. Abortion is murder, and this is some reason that we see here that they're taking away a life. And that's what here in verse number 5 is saying, look, this is proof that there's, God knows, he's formed, it's in the belly. And it says, verse number 6, then said I, now obviously Jeremiah wasn't in the belly this time, but he was referring to his call. He says, all Lord God. Now he says this a number of times in the book of Jeremiah. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now we've heard that story before. We heard Moses say that, haven't we? We've heard Moses says, I can't do the job you've given me because I'm slow of speech. Jeremiah here is saying he's simple. He's not smart enough to do it in a sense. He's not saying because, it might be because he is a little bit younger. He's probably somewhere around the age of Josiah, but he's referring to the fact he's not mature enough. Verse number 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, here it is. He's saying, look, the only thing I want you to do, very simply put, is I guess want you to go where I tell you to go, and I guess want you to say the things I want you to say. And it was simply put, that's what God wants us to do in our lives. I guess I want you to do what I've asked you to do and say the things I asked you to say. And then, you know, in that simple point, it's easy. But when we see what happens here, we know that Jeremiah faces huge obstacles. Verse number 8, he gives them some encouragement. I don't know if it's really encouragement or commandment. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. He says, doesn't matter how they respond, I want you to do what I told you to do, and don't be afraid of their faces. You know, sometimes when, you know, you preach to people, you can tell that some people are enjoying it, some people are not enjoying it, some are listening, some are sleeping, and thankfully nobody's sleeping here today. I appreciate that. You know, all those different things. Can't always say that in Sunday school, but no one's sleeping today. And he says, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't let their faces change what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say what God's told you to say. Say what God's laid upon. And he even goes a step farther here. Verse number 9, and the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. These are God's words here. You'll see that all throughout the book. He says, The word of the Lord came unto me. The Lord God hath said. You'll see that all the way through the book. He was just repeating the words that God had said. Verse number 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and destroy and throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. We're going to stop there. Some things here that I want you to understand about Jeremiah that's a little bit different than anybody else. This was up there on the PowerPoint, but it's not going to be there, so we'll just have to listen. It's not written all inside your little piece of paper because I thought you could write down what you wanted to, but he was chosen a prophet before he was born. That's obvious. He was born a priest. He was, at a very young age, called into the prophetic office, but he was commissioned to God. He was commissioned by God. And here's the point is, if there's a preacher, they're supposed to be commissioned by God, called by God. You shouldn't try to be a preacher or a pastor unless you're called by God to do it. He was even forbidden to marry because of the terrible times in which he lived. Things are so hard, things are going to be so tough, he says, don't even get married. That's found in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, if you want to look that up later on. He had never had a convert. He was rejected by his people. He was hated. He was beaten. He was put in stocks, in prison, charged with being a traitor. Now, you say, for doing what? For doing exactly what God asked him to. God just said, I want you to say the words that I give to you. And because of that, he was hated. He was beaten. He was put in stocks. He was in prison. He was charged as being a traitor. He said, I know what it is. He must have been one of those preachers that enjoy ripping people's heads off. You know, that type of preacher that comes and yells and screams and, you know, makes you feel like you're about that small. You know, now see, Jeremiah was different. He was known as the weeping prophet. His message broke his heart. I don't know about you. If it was me and I was going to send this type of message to the nation of Judah, or this portion of the nation of Israel, Judah, I would have probably found the hardest, the loudest preacher to just come out and just blast them with the message, hoping that they would repent. That's not what God does. God sends probably the most Christ-like prophet we know in all the Bible, because you see how he weeps and how he has compassion. He comes to him with compassion, weeping with this message of repentance. He wanted to resign one time. I think probably most of you know about that story, but he could not. He said, forget it. I'm done. I'm not going to say anything else. Nobody else wants to listen. Nobody else cares. But it says the word of God was like a fire inside his bones. And that's in found in chapter 20, if you want to look that up sometime. And he ever felt like listening? He ever felt like not a talk about Jesus Christ? And it says that, but the fire was in his bones. The word of God was in him. He used a great deal of symbolism in his preaching. There was the potter. He talked about the girl. He saw the rebel, Johanna, there. You know, this man, they went to him and they asked his opinion. He says, do not leave Judah. Even though that the Babylonians had come in and sieged and formed, he said, God will take care of you there. Just do not rebel. And they didn't listen. They dragged him there and they put him to death. There is no positive sign there that said, hey, look, I've changed my mind and my heart because of what Jeremiah said. But God gave him a prophet. God was being in Judah when God called him into the ministry. He stayed for over 40 years in Judah. The sad thing is he spent all those years of his life preaching through the last days of Judah's existence, and he was never stopped the downward spiral or progression of Judah. He was never able to do it. Because of what you see in this chapter that we just read, he was ordained and he was perfectly equipped. He was divinely appointed to this long and difficult ministry that he so heroically and graciously filled. You think about it. He says, Jeremiah must have been wrong with God. Jeremiah must not have had the Spirit of God on him. Jeremiah didn't have any converts, or Jeremiah didn't change the world or change the nation because he must have been wrong with God. But that's not it at all. See, God had raised this man up for this day and a time, and this spirit, with his spirit, to deliver this message for him. And I'm not trying to make excuses, because I know that God works in mysterious ways, and God sometimes chooses to bless certain people and certain men, and other times there's missionaries around the world who says they stayed and served for 40 years and never saw one convert. Is it because the missionary is wrong and the other preacher's right? No, that's not it at all. So God calls certain people to certain spots. And when you see this, and you're reading this in the story, this is an encouragement to those that are faithfully serving God. You know, might not always see the results that you like to see, but God still wants you to get the message. He was known as a man of simplicity, sensitivity, and he also was a man known of strength. He was, even see here in verse, I think it's verse number 7, when he says, look, I'm a child. That's how simplicity was. He said, look, there's nothing about me that can deliver these messages. God said, I want you. He was also a man that was sensitive, and we're not going to get too long into that, because in a little while we're going to talk about that. God would even give him a message. Sometimes he would protest and he'd say, God, you sure you want me to give this? That's a pretty hard message. You sure that you want these people? And you see there's a lot of hard messages in there. If you look and you read through the book, Jeremiah protested sometimes because he doesn't want to deliver the message. Not because he doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. It's because he thinks the message might be too strong for these people. Man, he has a sensitive heart. And he means that's a weak link then. No, sensitivity does not mean that you're weak. He was also a man of strength. For it to be a man that could sit there for over 40 years, give a message that nobody wanted to hear, to be tortured, to be thrown into the mire, to be put in jail, to have all these different things that happen to you, and continue to deliver that message, I don't know about you, but that speaks volumes about strength to me. That is a strong man. A man that will do God's will, uncompromised, despite the time and the place. Now, we used a lot of this time to help you understand the man Jeremiah. Sometimes you can separate the man and the message. Sometimes you see these other prophets who do not reveal too much about themselves. But a part of the book is, it's like an autobiography almost in a sense, because it reveals to you who Jeremiah is. He lays his emotions on the pages. And I think God does this. And there's a reason. It's because he wants the world to know. He was telling this nation one last time, repent, or you're going to be carried away. He had already told him before. He had already said it before. He didn't have to say it again, but he was saying it one more time. So that way they all knew. Here's the eternal permanent value of the day. The eternal permanent value is the revelation of God in the midst of an age of unspeakable failure. The revelation of God in the midst of an age of unspeakable failure. You mean he wasn't God anymore? See, he was God during this time, just as much as he was God when he created heaven and the earth. Just as much as he was God in heaven and earth. There was no way out for Judah. They could have repented, but they would not. God knew this. God tells Jeremiah to keep on preaching. You cannot blame God for the judgment. You cannot blame God. Right up to the very end, there was God's man saying, repent. It wasn't some man who was out there that wasn't caring. It wasn't some man who out there was just delivering a message. It did not affect him. Instead, God was just because he sent this man, who was probably more like Jesus Christ than any other prophet, begging them to repent with a heart of love, crying out, saying, repent. So you see the revelation of God throughout this whole book. God is revealing himself through Jeremiah. And let's look at some different ways. There's three different things. This is found on your little paper, how God revealed himself. We see Jehovah God is revealed through the judgment of sin. We see Jehovah God and revealed through the judgment of sin. Chapter number 2, you look at verse number 9, it says, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Look down in verse number 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. You know, he's saying, look, this is the judgment. This is judgment that's coming of your sin. He says, it's your wickedness. It is your problem. Look in verse number 35. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. You know, they're saying, I didn't do anything wrong. It reminds you of the politicians or the Justice Department today. Well, I didn't know anything about that. We didn't do anything wrong. And you're sitting right in front of it. You did something wrong. And they just don't want to admit to it. That's what these politicians are saying. Look, I didn't do anything wrong. These are the leaders of the day. Didn't do anything wrong. They blame their problems on the Assyrians. They blame their problems on the Egyptians. But what you have here is God revealing himself. The prophet Isaiah did not say it was the Assyrians' fault. Prophet Isaiah did not say it was the Egyptians' fault. The prophet Isaiah declared it. What it was a spiritual problem. And the spiritual problem is what brought the enemies their way. It was a spiritual problem. It was their sin that brought them down. That's what it says in verse number 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. And that's what's happening in our nation today too. Is that it's because our wickedness is the reason why we have the problems that we have today. And the message, following the morning message, we're going to talk a little bit, we're going to look at these chapter 2 and chapter 3 in Jeremiah, talking about, we'll tell you in a little while, but talking about people that say that they've not done anything wrong. You see in verse number 35, they've heard year after year they're doing wickedness. I mean, they have gotten so bad and they've gotten so wrong that it's actually entered into the temple. They got altars all around their nation to Baal. They got altars all around their nation to other gods. They got stone images up on the high hills. They even comes to the courts of God's holy temple. And they still say, didn't do anything wrong. And see, you see the revelation of God here through the judgment of sin. You also see the revelation of God. We see Jehovah's suffering for sin. Jehovah's suffering for sin. Say, where do you see that at? Well, take your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter number 9. Flip over to chapter number 9. We see it in picture form through Jeremiah. You see the suffering that Jeremiah goes through. And this is a picture form that we see of Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus stood at the top of that hill and he wept, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He was weeping over that nation. And this is what you see a picture form here, what Jeremiah is doing. Look here in chapter 9, verse number 1. It says, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." You know, here he's saying that he wished he had more tears to be able to cry. He wished that he could cry even more. And church, this is Jeremiah is in agony, not for himself. Jeremiah is right with God. Jeremiah, he has a hard job, but he's not crying for himself. He says that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. He's foreseeing it, what's going to happen. It's not for himself he's agonizing over. It's the agony he felt for his people. And that's the same thing when you saw Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. He wasn't weeping because he was going to the cross. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew what was going to happen all along. He knew that he was going to die. He knew what he was going to face. It was not easy. But here he's weeping because he knew what the future was going to be for Jerusalem. And that's what's going on for Jeremiah here. And we see the revelation of God during this time where it's awful, awful separation from God. Seems like nothing's working. Go back to that eternal permanent value. It says the revelation of God in the midst of an age of unspeakable failure. This is it. You see the suffering for sin. Not only do we see the judgment for sin, the suffering for sin, but we also see the victory over sin. Take your Bible to chapter number 18 now. Take your Bible to chapter number 18. You see the victory over sin. God's revealing himself in this book. It's not just, hey, look, Judah, you're going to be taken away if you don't repent. There's also a look to the future. Judah, you're going to be destroyed, but someday you're going to come back. And that's where you had this story about the potter here, and it talks about the sovereignty of God in Jeremiah 18, verse number 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels and the vest. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, and seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, remember back when we were talking back in his historical books, God was telling him, look, you're going to be taken away, but he's going to make you again. And that's what they're saying is in the future. The potter molds the clay. This speaks about God's absolute sovereignty. The clay was marred. It was sinful. He had to make it again. Now you think about Jeremiah, the job that God gave Jeremiah to do. He is there and he is watching as the Babylonians are coming in and taking over Jerusalem. He's there when they're destroying Jerusalem. He's there when they're killing the mothers. He's there when he's taking the young men and the young ladies and taking them back to Babylon. He is watching all this happen. Imagine. But he also knows that he's been told that he's going to make it again. He knows that God's not done with Judah. He knows that this is a time that they're going to have to go in for this sin. And God is revealed in this victory over sin. He made it again. I wonder if that old prophet, when he died, knew knew that God was going to continue to work? And the answer is yes. Take your Bible now to Jeremiah chapter 30. In Jeremiah chapter number 30, you see here the story that God telling Jeremiah that he is going to heal the wounds. Chapter 30, verse 16. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. He's talking about those that come and destroy Jerusalem. He says, therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. There was a day coming. God is revealing in this book his judgment for sin. God in this book reveals his suffering for sin. God in this book shows his victory over sin, that there was a day coming. He told Jeremiah that. You know, how can you keep on serving? How can you keep on preaching? How can you keep on witnessing when it seems like everything is unspeakable failure when it comes to the spiritual lives of men today? You look at this example of Jeremiah. You see Jeremiah continually going on. He knows there's hope in the future for this nation. How can we, because we know there's hope for the future in the church, we know that someday Jesus Christ is coming back, and we can continue to faithfully give this message to those that are there. So what is the living truth for today? It's something I've alluded to a couple different times already. It's on your piece of paper there. It says, speak God's word without compromise. This is the truth today. You don't have to compromise the message. You just got to do what God's asked you to do. In the day and time that we live in, people are not going to hear. I guess I didn't want to hear Jeremiah's day, but you see this throughout the whole entire book. God reveals himself. He says, Jeremiah, I've given you a job to do for over 40 years. I want you to go preach a message that nobody wants to hear. They're going to tell you to shut up. They're going to torture you. They're going to imprison you. They're going to do all these things. And in the end, it's going to cost you your life, but I want you to go and do it anyway. And I want you to do it with the heart of compassion. Man, what a tough job he got.
Yes, sir.
But you see that he gave the word. Remember what we talked about in Jeremiah 1:8? Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Even when it doesn't seem like it's making a difference, we are faithfully giving out God's word. We allow God to make the difference. In Isaiah chapter 55:11, think of these words. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it.
Yes, sir.
Now I want you to understand, in this story here, the living truth that's going on. The living truth that's going on here is that we need to give out the word of God. Say, it doesn't seem like it's making a difference. God says in his word, he says, it shall accomplish that which I please. Over 40 years, Jeremiah continued giving the word. Didn't make any difference. But he did what God told him to do. And I know that some people say, hey, Pastor, you're just doomsayers. You're just a conspiracy type. You know, our nation's in trouble. It really does. It really is. And we need to faithfully proclaim the word of God. I'm not saying that we are the Jeremiahs of today, because right next to us there's people coming, but you know, I don't know what else we can look at. You know, there's danger ahead, and we need to cry out, and we need to do as Jeremiah did, proclaim the message that God's given us over and over and over. Too often we are too interested in what people look like in their faces. Too often we care and say, doesn't look like it's making a difference. I don't know why I should do it. Look at Jeremiah. Look at the story there. Over 40 years. He preached the same message. He did it with compassion. He did it with love. He did it from his heart. There was no other better way he could do it. He did not compromise. He was strong. You say, Pastor, he wanted to give up the one time. Yes, that's human. If he didn't write that in there, I would say this guy had to be an angel. He couldn't have been real. Of course he wanted to give up. Nobody wanted to listen to him. But the relationship he had with God is so strong. The word of God meant so much to him. It was as a fire in his bones. He just could not stay quiet. When's the last time you felt like that? There's much we can learn from this book. God does reveal himself in this, and it was tough trying to figure the eternal permanent value versus the revelation of God through all this, or the man Jeremiah himself. Because in this man Jeremiah, you see a revelation of the type of person God wants to be with his word. whether it's instant in season or out of season. When it's easy to preach to a bunch of preachers or talk around your Christian family and friends, or it's uneasy to talk to somebody who doesn't want to hear the message, we still have the same message to preach and that same message to give. It is a revelation that God does judge sin, but there is sorrow for sin, and someday there will be victory over sin. Jeremiah shows us that. And I pray that you can take that from here to this week and say, I can give out the word, just like Jeremiah did. And I don't have to compromise. Even though it doesn't seem like it's making a difference, God's word will return. And I love that phrase. It shall accomplish that which I please. That's Isaiah 55:11, talking about the word of God. He says, his word will not return void. It shall accomplish that which I please. We're supposed to give the word out. We're supposed to be just sowers. Sowing the word. Sowing the word. God will let it accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to come to your house, Lord. Please help us today. Lord, I know sometimes it feels like, it seems like we're not making any difference. Seems like things get harder and harder and harder to spread your word. Thank you for the example of Jeremiah. Lord, thank you for showing us that we can faithfully give out your word, even though somebody might not want to hear it. Lord, you've called us to go into all the world. Lord, I pray that we will do it, and we'll do it with a heart of compassion, a heart of love, a heart like Jeremiah had. Lord, help us to become more like you and become more like your son. In Jesus' name, amen.